My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and as we begin another program here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, I invite you to stay tuned. Our program today is an interesting one, and I'm sure that you're going to be blessed by the message that will be presented. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast is one which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. Today, the message that Pastor Phipps will present is entitled Jesus and His Destiny. As we do from time to time, we've chosen to broadcast this particular message in two parts. So today we will hear Jesus and His Destiny, part one of this title, as Pastor Phipps presented it to the Seabrook Church. Please stay with us. Our message will begin right after we hear some special music.
The shadows come. Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Your heart be troubled. His tender voice I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and my draw thee closer to me. From care He sets me free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. His eye is on the sparrow. I know He's watching me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I'm happy. watching me. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he's watching. Galilee. Lying on his bed was the young boy Jesus. His eyes wide open, his heart racing with excitement. It seemed as though he had laid awake all night long. He knew the morning would herald his first visit to a big city. I'll never forget the first time I was told that we were moving from Trinidad to Montreal, Canada. My mother bought us new suits, complete with little derby, English derby hats. We were sharp that day. We were going to the big city. Jesus had not long had his 12th birthday. And among the Jews, reaching the age of 12 was an important milestone in a child's life. Reaching the age of 12 was a significant spiritual event in the life of a little Jewish boy. You see, 12 marked the beginning of a new chapter of faith and maturity. 12 was the time when he ceased to be a child in the eyes of the law, and he became a man. It was at 12, according to the Jews, that Moses left the house of Pharaoh's daughter. It was at 12 that Samuel had been called into service in the temple. It was also at 12 that a Jewish boy was made an apprentice. At 12, he had to begin learning a skill in order to be gainfully employed in manhood. For a young Jewish boy, 12 was a rite of passage of sorts. And at 12, Jesus began what would become a lifelong love affair with the city of Jerusalem. From all parts of Palestine, the Passover pilgrims traveled to Jerusalem. They traveled together for protection and fellowship. The women and the old men rode upon the oxen. The young and the strong journeyed on foot. The hills about them were ablaze with the dazzling colors of springtime. The air was clear and crisp. It seemed to sparkle with the laughter of little children, while the sweet melody of the birds rose like fragrance in the air. All along the way, fathers and mothers shared with their children God's miracles done in ages past, of Samuel and David and Shadrach and Daniel. And as they came in sight of the city of Jerusalem, suddenly, spontaneously, the crowd would break out in singing, and they would sing the words of Psalm 122, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem, and peace be within thy walls." I'm sure that as Joseph and Mary saw the magnificence, the grandeur of the temple, that it was their hope that Jesus would sense a divine urging to go into the ministry. Many mothers and fathers pray that their children would make that kind of commitment.
They had hoped that when Jesus saw the temple, that he would feel compelled to take up the ministry as his career and calling. Little did they know that all during his childhood, Jesus had nursed a sense and nursed a calling, a sense that God had placed him here to live out a destiny and an unusual path God had for him to follow. Few people knew that Jesus, as a child, was filled with questions he never shared with anybody. His heart was filled with inquiries he never uttered to any human ear. Who am I? He must have asked himself as a child. What did God place me here to do? If Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, if he was in all points tempted like as we are, I believe that early in his life, he wrestled with the same questions that are common to our humanity. Who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of my life? What did God place me on this great wide world to do? When Jesus arrived in Jerusalem after doing a walking tour of the city, he seemed to be drawn irresistibly towards the great temple he had heard and read so much about. You see, in olden days, the place of worship was the center of the community. Today, it's the local bank. It says something about what we worship. We worship mammon. Money is our God. We live in a society today that worships power and lucre, but it wasn't always that way everywhere. In Africa, I read of a village that accepted the gospel and built a place of worship right in the middle of the village. And whenever one elder or family would stop coming to the church, the grass would grow up between his hut and the church. And that was a sign to the community that somebody needed to pay that elder a visit. Jesus in Jerusalem found himself being drawn towards the temple. And as he watched the proceedings, something began to happen within his spirit. As he watched the ceremony in the temple, he felt a stirring in his heart. He felt the dawning of what would be for him an undeniable sense of destiny. He stood there wide-eyed, his little heart straining to understand the meaning of what he was looking at. Because you see, for the first time, he watched the priests in their white robes going about their ministry. This was his first time seeing the priest take that knife and slit the throat of the lamb, the innocent lamb. And this young boy saw for the first time, are you with me this morning, the bleeding sacrifice offered upon the altar. And as he watched it being consumed by that sacred flame in holy reverence, that young boy watched the service and somehow intuitively in his spirit, he knew that everything about that service pointed to him. It began to dawn upon his little heart that his destiny was bound up in the fate of that lamb. There was an awakening in his spirit that he was to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And it was an understanding that became clear that his typical sacrifice that he was looking at would find its fulfillment in his own life. He was only 12 years old. Jesus. But his young heart had begun to understand the meaning of what he saw. Moved by this vision of his destiny, Jesus went off into a remote part of the temple alone, and he prayed and he pondered. This little boy, he was 12. I said he was 12. Maybe you don't remember what a 12-year-old looks like. But he was 12, and there in the temple, at 12, he knew he had to make a decision about what he was looking at. He knew that he would either follow the path of destiny God had laid out for him, or he would live his life by the compass of coincidence. You see, all of us live our lives either by the compass of coincidence or the compass of providence. Would his life be guided by accident, or would it be guided by some eternal purpose and design? Jesus agonized about it. 12 years old, he prayed, and when all the Passover pilgrims headed for home, somehow Mary and Joseph forgot about Jesus. In the press of the crowd, they left him behind. They assumed he was somewhere traveling with the other little children, but Jesus wasn't there. That 12-year-old had in that temple come to a decision, Jesus, about his life and destiny. And as he wandered about the temple under conviction, the Holy Spirit began to fill his heart, and he came upon a large room. He was endowed and anointed with the Holy Ghost. He walked in and sat down at the feet of the priest. See this with me. The creator of the universe, clad in human flesh, listening to scholars and philosophers trying to make sense of words he had spoken through the medium of prophets. He listened as the scribes and Pharisees parsed his own words and thought he heard them trying to mine scriptures he had given for truths and principles. And brothers and sisters, these were scriptures he used. I like this. God gave me this the other morning. Scriptures he used for meditation they struggled with. At 12, scriptures he used for inspiration they struggled with. As a child, Jesus had more wisdom by accident than they did on purpose. Amen. Somebody said the Christian on his knees can see more than the philosopher on tiptoe. After listening for a while, Jesus began to question those wise old rabbis about the prophecies of the Messiah. And after a while, they began to turn to this 12-year-old with their questions. And they listened in amazement to his answers. 12, you didn't hear me, 12 years old. And yet he was expounding from the scriptures and giving them the benefit of an insight and an intellect born of heavenly wisdom. I can almost hear someone in that group of teachers saying, who is this young man? From whence has he come? It is evident he has great promise. But how has he come by so much knowledge when he has never been taught by us? We can use him. Make him one of our students. Somebody give him a scholarship to our seminary. A mind like that is a terrible thing to waste. We must take charge of his educational development. We must mold his mind after our mind. I want you to know one of the great dangers of a church that is committed to the principles of conformity and control is that we don't pay enough attention to the release of the promise of every individual in ministry. We like cookie cutter people. We like people doing it just the way it's always been done. Are you with me today? Let's make him like us. While they were plotting and designing his future, Mary and Joseph noticed that Jesus was not with them, and they turned around, headed back. They looked for him where they had first set up camp. He wasn't there. They looked for him where the other children were playing. He wasn't there. As Joseph and Mary prayed for their son's safe return, their ears caught the sound of a familiar voice coming from the room of training and instruction, and right away they recognized that voice. You see, even as a child, nobody had a voice like Jesus. It was a young voice, yet earnest and serious. Have you ever met a young person? The voice was young, but there was wisdom and seriousness in that voice. You ever met somebody like that? A young voice, but it's solemn, sincere. A young voice, but in it the echoes of heaven. Some mothers who went back to find their boys found them playing near the markets. Some mothers went looking for their sons, found them marching, pretending to be soldiers. But Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple. And now you could expect that a child found by their parents under such circumstances, temple or no temple, could expect what I call imminent reproach, impending chastisement. That's old English for you. You're going to be dealt with. So where have you been? Son, we've been looking all over for you. We didn't know where you were. We've been worried sick. Jesus answered her saying, Mother, oh, Mother, God has shown me my life's destiny. Mother, oh, Mother, God has made it clear to me this day in this temple. My life sojourn and the meaning of my sojourn here on earth. Mother, you didn't have to go all over the city searching for me. Didn't you know that I would be right here in my Father's house? Didn't you know I would be right here about my Father's business? Mother, oh, Mother, this is my life. I found my destiny. Wit ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Now, brothers and sisters, these words are the first recorded words of Jesus in the Bible. Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? As a matter of fact, they are the only words that have come down to us from the childhood of Jesus. Now, why would God do that? Why, out of all of the things that Jesus has ever said and done as a child, that these were the only words passed down to us? I must be about my Father's business. I believe that one reason why God preserved this event in the childhood of Jesus, because for Jesus it was a turning point. It was a momentous hour. You see, there comes a moment in every life, a moment of decision and commitment. It is unlike any other moment. When you realize that life is more than fun and games, when you realize that this world is a dangerous place, when you realize that few people know the meaning of friendship, few people understand loyalty, there comes a moment in your life when God removes all the crutches, everything you ever depended on, leaned on, he knocks it away. A moment when you realize that life is more than trinkets and trivialities. A moment when you realize that life is about more than fame and fortune, more than stocks and bonds and the pursuit of a better life. All these things have their place, but there comes a moment in the life, even of a young person, when you realize, young people, hear me today, that life is more than Dreamcast and Nintendo. You realize that life is more than just about who wants to be a millionaire. Life, you realize there comes a moment when you see these things for what they really are. You realize that life is more than just selling poor people Nike shoes. Are you with me today? When you realize that life is more about than just your money and your career, there comes a time when, like the young boy Jesus, that you have to be clear on whether you are about your Father's business. For soon this life will be past, and only your Father's business will last. It's no accident that you are sitting in this church today. It's no accident if God's got you thinking and your heart is pricked, the time has come for you to decide whose business you're going to be about. Amen. You've diligently been about your employer's business. They've promoted you. I'm asking you today, as the pastor who stands in this pulpit, are you about your Father's business? This statement by Jesus acknowledged his sense of purpose and destiny. And every day he would ask his Father to order his steps so he could live out the temporal and eternal destiny God had prepared for him. Church, because God says, take your time. Because Jesus knew his destiny, he kept his eyes fixed on things eternal. You see, you're not going to get where you're supposed to be if you don't keep your eyes on the goal. Because Jesus knew his destiny, he was able to walk away from the thrones, the earthly thrones they had prepared for him. Crown him king, said the crowd. He said, no, my hour has not yet come. This is not my destiny. Because he knew his destiny, he was able to refuse earthly robes of authority. Because he knew his destiny, he clothed himself in our shame. Jesus. Because he knew his destiny, he wore the crown of insult and ridicule. Because he was clear. He had a destiny to fulfill. Because he knew his destiny, he knew that scorn and contempt were unavoidable for him. Jesus, because he knew his destiny, he settled in his heart that he would go on and be wounded for our transgressions. Because he knew his destiny, he lived with the conviction that he would suffer many things and then he would be killed. Because he knew his destiny, he believed he would stay in the belly of hell for 3 days. But after 3 days, he would be raised from the dead. Because he knew his destiny, he lived in complete anticipation of the cross. Do you know the business the Father placed you here to do? Do you really know?
That brings us to the end of the message for today, part one of the title, Jesus and His Destiny. If you would like to obtain a cassette copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Today you want to ask for program number 172. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I wish you God's richest blessings as always. Please join us again. But until you can, remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life."In your heart.